Paramahansa Padivajakacharya Astatar Satashri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padivajakacharya Astatar Satashri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda. Shri Advaita, Shri Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur, Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Navadweep Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. Jamun Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, welcome everybody. Thank you for coming to the Sunday feast program. Thank you for staying for the class. It's always a little change of scene between the kirtan and the class. It's also very nice. So today, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to celebrate by celebrating and honoring mothers and fathers and grandfathers and various other personalities. I chose a verse from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Ninth chapter is called Most Confidential Knowledge. And text number 17 is our verse. And okay. Pitaham asya jagato.
Pitaham asya jagato.
Mata data pitamaha.
Mata data pitamaha.
Mata data pitamaha.
Mata data pitamaha.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Vedyam pavitram omkara. Riksama yajur eva cha.
Riksama
yajur
eva
cha. And there was one thing that I wanted to say before this. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
That little chant is a chant to glorify the Supreme Lord who's speaking this Vedic knowledge. And we're praying to Lord Vasudev, offering our respects, namo, to Lord Vasudev, so that he can enlighten our consciousness. By his mercy, we'll have the proper ability, by his mercy, be able to understand a little bit of what Krishna is saying. Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo.
Pitaham asya jagato.
Pitaham asya jagato.
Mata data pitamaha.
Mata data pitamaha.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Riksama yajra eva cha.
Riksama yajra eva cha.
Pitamaham asya jagato.
Pitaham asya jagato.
Mata data pitamaha. Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Riksama yajur eva cha.
Riksama yajur eva cha.
Please chant.
Pitaham asya jagato.
Pitaham asya jagato. Pitamahasya jagato. Mata data pitamaha.
Vedyam pavitram omkara.
Pitamaham Sarvajagato. Vedyam Pavitram Omkara. Riksamaya Jurevacha. Pitam Asya Jagato. Mata Data Pitamaha. Vedyam Pavitram Omkara. Riksamaya Jurevacha. Pitaham Asya Jagato. Mata Data Pitamaha. Vejam Pavitram Omkara. Riksamaya Jurevacha. Pita. Father. Aham. I. Asya. Of this, Jagata, of the universe, Mata, mother, Data, supporter, Pitamaha, grandfather, Vedyam, what is to be known, Pavitram, that which purifies, Omkara, the syllable Om, Rik, the Rig Veda, Sama, the Sama Veda, Yajur, the Yajur Veda, Eva, certainly, Cha, and. So here's Srila Prabhupada's translation on this verse. I am, Krishna speaking, he's speaking to Arjuna, so Krishna's saying, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rik, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. I'm going to say it one more time and think of all the things that Krishna's mentioning here that he is, because this is just one of these verses. There's a series of verses where Krishna is saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. And after this, we're going to test you a little bit to see how many of those that you can remember, okay? So Krishna is saying, I'm the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I'm the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I'm also the Rik, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. Okay, what do you remember? That's okay. Do you still remember it? Okay. You don't have to say all of them, okay? But thank you. Okay, father and the mother. Who else?
Grandsire.
Who else? The purifier. Syllable Om. Rig Veda. Rig Yajur Atharva. Sama. He's the Atharva too, don't worry. Okay, don't worry. He just didn't say it right now. So this is just one verse where Krishna is saying, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. Can you remember from the other verses either in the 9th chapter or the 10th chapter or the 7th chapter throughout the Gita, Krishna says, I am this and that, so it helps us fix, not only just to fix our mind on him, but to actually try, get a little glimpse of his expansive personality, how it reaches in every corner of everything. Anyone want to mention a few things that they can remember? Krishna says, I am the sun and the moon, the light of the sun and the moon. Very good. Good starter.
The taste of water.
The taste of water, and who doesn't need that in days like today?
Time.
Time. Ooh, yep.
A body of water. I'm the ocean.
Ocean. And who's in the ocean that he is?
The shark.
The shark.
The letters I'm A.
A. Krishna's Rupa Prabhu.
Digesting fire.
Oh, please, Lord of Digestion, please never leave me.
What?
Healing herb. Yeah. So, anyone else?
The letter A.
The letter A, what was mentioned, but I didn't repeat it loud enough. But thank you for that. Ganges River. Soma. Oh, Cheaters of the cheaters. That's true. That's true. I mean, interesting. Thanks for bringing that up. I'll get to it in a bit. Soma. Okay. What was that?
Death.
Time. Yeah. Soma needs his turn. Light in the sun of the moon. That's good. Yes. Nice to mention those on today. Those are feminine qualities that he, that's a whole thing about that, Hare Krishna. Okay, so those are just the, yes, Prabhu.
Fire
and the digestion, yes, very good, good. So what Krishna's saying, and he's giving us the information that, and we know it theoretically, you know, we say Krishna's the Lord, he's everything. He is everything. But just in case you miss a few points of what it means to be everything, well, he's saying, I'm the taste of water. Whoa. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I am the air. I am the ocean. I am so many things. And now he's talking about, not just here, but he's talking about relationships. So what's mentioned in this verse is the father, the mother, the grandfather. Those all are different relationships that we have, and they're all different. Now I'm seeing a few people that might have heard some of this before, a couple of days ago when I talked on this verse. But anyway, Hare Krishna, it'll come out new, ever fresh. Okay, so in 2.5 seconds, I'm going to get into the purport. Omagina timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So what's the torchlight of knowledge? Is this literature, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, the Vedic literature. It's a torchlight. It wakens us up from our dense darkness of ignorance, sleeping here on the lap of a witch, thinking, I'm just fine. Everything's okay, because the fans are on. It's a little hot, but the fans are on, so we're okay, right? And then, you know, and we know that there's going to be some prashadam after this, so, you know, there are difficulties in our life, but we're okay. And if we get too comfortable here, we forget it's all going to end. It's all going to end. It's real, but it's temporary. Okay, I'm getting distracted. Okay, purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy, but under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, or mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word datta means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcel of Krishna, but their creator, the grandmother and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. But there's a difference. We'll get. But he is Krishna. Okay. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only towards Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step to understand Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om is called pranava and is the transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, the pranava, or omkara, is very prominent. It is understood to be Krishna. So, we've got here this verse that talks about these relationships. that are very fundamental relationships. The relationship with our mother, relationship with our father, and even extended beyond that, the grandfather and grandmother, among other things that he's mentioning. So when we think of those relationships, they're nurturing to us in different ways, isn't it true? You know, how the mother nurtures the child is different than how the father nurtures and takes responsibility for the child. It's a different flavor. In Sanskrit, the word is called rasa. They have, Srila Prabhupada, when he tries to explain rasa in the Nectar of Devotion, he says there's not a very good exact translation in English for the word rasa. So it's a concept. It's a concept of a flavor, he says. Sometimes he calls it a mellow. But it's like a flavor in a relationship. So we can think of it particularly in relation to this verse, because the flavor or the quality of the or the exchange of the relationship between the mother and the child is different than the flavor of the relationship than the father with the child. And then you add here Krishna's adding, it doesn't stop there. I'm also the grandfather and the grandmother. So all of those flavors mix together and in a certain way and create a very nurturing environment for the living, for the little jiva to grow up in, hopefully. It's hard to say those things with such affirmative statements, you know, in Kali Yuga, because we've all experienced, perhaps all, or if we haven't personally experienced difficulties with those very basic relationships, we might know a few people that have had troubling relationships with those personalities. But at least for this frame of reference, we're talking about the positive relationship, the positive nurturing side of the mother, and the also, Krishna mentions, the role the father has, that relationship, so we can understand the concept of the rasa being different. And different, but simultaneously conducive? Complementary, thank you. Complementary to, you know, a family sitting, a setting, and a healthy growth of the child. So we, in our modern society, we have a day set aside for Mother's Day to honor the mother. And we have one for the fathers. And then I know the school has Grandparents' Day too, so I'm sure there's all sorts of celebrated relationships, even Boss's Day, but we won't go there for that one right now. But so that relationship that the service that the mother renders to the child, to the family, to the everyone, and to many others extended, is so basic, nourishing, and important for the living entity to grow up in a loving environment and develop positive attitudes. And then in relation to the father, that firmness of character, that steady character, that pillar in the family, that also is very important relationship there. So Krishna's saying, what's he saying? I'm all of those. Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada starts, or Rupa Goswami, he starts off talking about how Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. And the translation of that is that he is the source of all those different types of relationships, either parental or friendly or conjugal or neutral. He's the source of all of them. All of them. So we can keep that in mind, in the back of your mind or in the forefront of your mind, however you choose to do it, in appreciating the different personalities who have nurtured us, supported us, and helped us grow to maturity in our lives. And that quality of appreciation is very, very important. It's actually a very symptomatic of a civilized, and this is just basic human civilization, to be appreciative of the help that you've gotten through your life. In Sanskrit, the word is kritagya, gratitude, that Krishna, and Krishna, how does he exhibit that gratitude? In so many ways. He exhibits it in one particular way, that he never, ever, ever forgets any little service that anyone in any place, in any body, in any universe does for him. He never forgets it. That's amazing. Not only does he never forget it, but he always remains appreciative and encouraging and giving the opportunity for the personality or whatever, the jiva, to do more. Always more. And even in there's extreme cases, very famous cases. Case number one, exhibit A, is Putana. Putana, if you're not so familiar with the story, Putana disguised herself as a beautiful woman. And she came just as Krishna was newly born, just a new little born baby. And he was lying on his bed. But in actuality, the reason that she disguised herself as a beautiful woman is because she was an evil-minded personality. It had a different form that wasn't considered beautiful to our standard. So she disguised herself as a beautiful woman, smeared her breast with very potent poison, and then went in all dressed up real pretty to give her breast to Krishna. How motherly of her, no? Her intention was to kill him, but through that means of a poisoned breast. So that when he went to suck her breast, because he's just a little baby and that's what he's going to do, right? He's going to suck the breast, and that he would die immediately. But being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all powerful and everything, he didn't die. Rather, he sucked out her life breath through the milk. He sucked out her life breath. She left her body. But did Krishna think, oh, that mean old lady tried to kill me. Oh, send her to hell to burn forever. No, he didn't think like that at all. He thought, oh, she's come to me as a mother. Let me reward her with some motherly service. And she was elevated from a demoniac mentality. A demoniac meant her mentality was cleansed right then and there on the spot. And she was elevated to a position of a loving mother to the Lord. So that's an amazing example, how Krishna always sees the good. And similarly, but it's a little bit of a stretch, there is a similarity there. The mother always sees the good in her child. How many times the child does so many nice things, and he might mess the house up here and there, and he might do some rascally things here and there. And he might not want to walk properly, so he has to be dragged a little bit, but, you know, he's a beautiful child, right? Thank you. Child, Krishna, something. The mother always sees the good in the child. Thank you. Thank you, Krishna. She always sees the good. And there's documented stories of women who've had their child become, you know, go way down the wayward path, end up in very serious trouble with the law, and the mother's just seeing, this is my son. She's thinking he's a good boy. He might have been Jack the Ripper or, you know, whoever. I won't even go into different scenarios. But she's thinking, he's my boy, he's a good boy. She remembers all the good things of him that he did all his life, all the times he, you know, did anything nice. And anything bad that he did, she overlooks it. Oh, that was that problem or that problem. So Krishna, not in an exact similar way, but the mood of seeing the good in his children. Krishna's like that. He's like that. He's always going to look for the good, encourage the good. And then now let's I'm jumping over to the relationship with the grandparents. So the mother presents a certain rules and discipline, certain whatever, and loving correction. The father presents certain rules and regulations and discipline in the house. And the grandparents come along and spoil the kids totally. Right? To a certain degree, right? There's a proud grandparent over there. And they come, and that's their prerogative. That's their prerogative, and that also adds to the sweetness of the relationship with the child. I remember when I used to go visit my Nana, she would always give us, as we're going out the door, she would always give us a silver dollar. So it was really fun to go see her. And then when my mother... when my sisters had their children, she would say, "Oh, it's so nice to see the grandchildren come." And then she said, "And it's so nice to see them go." But anyway, but the grandparents have a different loving relationship. That relationship originates in Krishna. That relationship originates in Krishna. So then we can think that it can be another... little memory card that we stick in our memory bank for as long as memories stay, have a bank, and not, they don't turn to be blank. How Krishna is so kind. How's Krishna so kind? Because oftentimes in life, as I can see, none of you were born yesterday, but he was just born a few years ago. But anyway, none of us were born yesterday. Life has its turns and twists and turns and ups and downs and different things. But perhaps now, looking back on those different twists and turns and ups and downs, we can maybe relate to it in different ways. How Krishna was being stern with us like a father. How he was being loving with us like a mother. How he was spoiling us like a grandparent a little bit. like that. We can see and then relate and expand on these understandings so that why? So that our remembrance of Krishna will be expanded. So we'll be able to see him in everything that we do, in every relationship, and every difficulty that we come. And we actually turn to him in those circumstances. Now, another part of this verse is where Krishna says he's part of the Vedas. He's those Vedas. He's the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas. So there's a Vedic statement that says the Vedas are more merciful than millions of mothers. So a mother, in a normal setting, she's very loving and kind and nurturing and concerned about the growth of her own children, and she might expand it to the neighbors or her children's friends, etc., etc. But it's a small group, you know, it's a small group. But the Vedas, as explained, are more merciful than millions of mothers. So why? Where does that come from? What does that mean? That means that the Vedas are there. Krishna's giving us information how to make progress toward him, no matter where we're at. No matter where we're at. So the someone who's in the first grade, or who's just entering the first grade of school, their mental capacity is a little smaller. So they just get to play with balls and they learn their colors and they learn their ABCs and they learn their basic numbers. Then when they're in the sixth grade, they're expected to have more developed intelligence and the system is a little more difficult, more, you know, progressive. Now, Krishna. Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. The Vedas are giving instructions for someone who's on the entry level of school, or someone who's in the grammar school, or someone who's in college level, or someone who's in, you know, PhD program. What are those programs of education? The programs of education are to know him, to turn towards him, to understand the position of the Creator and our relationship to him, God, the universe, etc., etc. So we see that there's many different Vedic literature, and Krishna says in other places of the Gita that there's Vedic literature that are for those, to attract those in the mode of darkness, tamas. He gives them something that they can grab onto and make progress. And then for those who are a little more passionate and want, you know, material comforts and this and that, not the highest goal in life, but still it's something if they turn to God to fulfill those desires in a pious way. So he'll give them information how to do that. And then for those who are a little more, have made a little more spiritual progress and may even understand, I'm a servant of God is great and I'm his servant, then there's more information how to develop that relationship. So the whole spectrum, no, there's not one jiva left behind. Not one jiva left behind. There's something for everyone. So millions of different forms of life with millions of different mentalities, there all is something for them to grab or understand or try to comprehend and follow through the Vedic process. Everything is there. And that's how Krishna, he never ever gives up on us. Never ever gives up on us. We might have certain capacity or lack of capacity. We might have certain talents or not so many talents or so many things. But none of those things are prerequisites to get the mercy of Krishna. The prerequisite or the thing to get the mercy of Krishna is to be his part and parcel. So is there anybody here that's not part of Krishna? Not according to this verse. Everyone here is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone out there is part and parcel of Krishna. And not just human beings, too. More progressive is to see that even the living entities that are inhabiting plants and trees and slug bodies, they're also part of ants. Ants, sorry, I have an ant problem. Ants are parts and parcel of Krishna, too. He's there in the heart. He's that battery energizing even those unattractive bodies, or more attractive, depending. He's there in everyone. So therefore, when we have that broader vision, which is what the Vedic knowledge tries to give us, a broader, open our eyes, just like the beginning prayer. The spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, because that knowledge broadens our vision. We're looking through little teeny pinholes. And we're thinking, oh yeah, I see everything. I get it. I can see everything. But there's so much more out there based on knowledge of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. And that torchlight of knowledge that comes through the Vedas, it broadens our vision so that we can see gradually how Krishna's everything. And how does that affect us? By seeing more and more the kind hand of Krishna in our lives, we see that actually, oh, yes, we've heard the phrase, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, I got it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Right. What does that mean? It means it has a huge import. It has a huge meaning. And that actually, what I'm thinking is reality isn't reality, isn't really reality, isn't really the big reality. The big reality is Krishna and his consciousness. And the real reality is if I link up with that, his consciousness, his service, and with an attempt to serve him, then I'm in a rightful position. And all of my attempts that I make to try to be happy without putting him in the center only and repeatedly lead to frustration. We've heard this a few times in a few different ways. But when we grasp it more deeply, then we live our life according to that. And life has a different flavor, it has a different meaning, and it has a more clear path for us to take. So all of that, Krishna is saying, it's him. So Kritagya, going back to Kritagya, who remembers what, not the ones that have seasoned Vaishnavas, how about some of the newer people? Does anybody remember what Kritagya means? Mentioned it in the beginning, in relationship to the mother, or in relationship to somebody doing something nice to us. Kritagya. That was gratitude. Yes, thanks. Gratitude. Yeah, that we'd be grateful for all the things that the Lord has given us. And when we develop that attitude of gratitude, actually, I can't remember who the great personality was, either Satchinandana Maharaj or Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, or both, said that gratitude, being grateful to what Krishna has given us, that's like such an important aspect of bhakti, for your bhakti to grow, to be grateful and see things with appreciation, to see how the Lord is kindly giving us so many things that we need. Like a mother, he's nurturing us. Like a father, perhaps, he's disciplining us. But that's not the only thing that fathers do, but I'm just bringing that out. Okay. Like a father, he could be disciplining us. Like a grandmother or grandfather, he could be giving us, you know, extra ice cream, even though mom doesn't want us to eat that much sugar. You know, the sweetness is there. And if we see that kindness of the Lord in our lives, then you'll see Krishna in your life. This is a part I repeated the other day, so I'm going to say it again. When you look for Krishna's kind hand in your life, then you'll see it. And if you forget to look for Krishna's kindness, you won't see it at all. So we need to train our minds and attitudes with gratitude that this is happening. It might not have been exactly what I wanted, but Krishna's mercy is there to teach me he's the supreme, to teach me this, to teach me different aspects of his personalities, to bring me further along on the path. So we can offer our gratitude to our mothers, and not just our physical, biological mothers, because Mukhya mentioned the seven mothers, the nurse, the wife of the king, the wife of the spiritual master, the cow, the earth. Is that seven? The Brahmin, the wife of the Brahmin. All the different forms of mothers and nurturing that we get, we can offer our gratitude to that. And what a better way to offer our gratitude than by offering prayers for their progress in spiritual life. Is that your mother? We'll welcome you. Hare Krishna. Anyway, just one other thing put in relation to, because oftentimes when we hear various Krishna conscious discourses, we hear about how these relationships, bodily relationships, are temporary. We need to renounce our attachment for those relationships because sooner or later they're going to end and everything. But actually, the correct way to look at it, it's not just, spiritual life isn't just about renouncing relationships, but it's about developing or spiritualizing those relationships. We need to learn to appreciate all the different relationships by seeing the spirit soul behind those relationships and realizing our relationship to all living entities and to the Supreme Lord. Because if you just do one and you don't do the other, then you can be nice to a certain group of personalities and not even realize that you're cruelly killing personalities and eating them and not seeing any relationship between that. It's a very important thing. That was just a brief thing I wanted to add on the end. But how about if there's any comments or questions or clarifications or corrections or discussion that you'd like to bring up or something that you'd like to add that you learned from your mother or whatever. Did you call your mother today, Phil? Okay, good. Thanks. Sorry. Discussion, comment, corrections? Yes, Prabhu.
I remember Sripad Radhanath Swami says, gratitude is divine quality, causes the devotee's heart into fertile ground where bhakti can grow easily. It's so important.
Yeah. It's a nurturing process for bhakti to grow. Anything else? Okie dokie. So I hope you have a happy Mother's Day. And I hope you can appreciate the service of the mothers. I hope you can render service to others. I hope you have a happy Father's Day when it comes around soon. And I hope that you continue on your ever-progressive spiritual path back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.